Some crazy, wacky stuff. Just crazy and wacky. Both at the same time. It's the news, according to me. Good. Is it Thursday? Thursday morning. Thursday. I am thirsty. I see. I even sound thirsty here on Thursday. May 1st. First day of the month. Month is practically over. Well, the first full day of the month, or first full week of the month next week, and of course, then it's after that. It's all, you know, it's pretty much midweek, mid-month. This week is almost over, so the month is almost over. Basically, it's pretty much almost June. Summer's about basically done. It's 8:17 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. I am your host, Kevin, and I turned the music off a little too soon there. I like to have the background music play for just a little bit because, you know, adds to the energy level, whatever it is. Well, there's some wacky, crazy stuff going on out there, and it's not on this show. Not as much. I don't know what happened in my sound studio here last night. Apparently, one of the cats decided to crawl all over the place. I don't know. Well, one of the cats. We know which one it was. So there's only one of them out here. And there's stuff knocked down. There's stuff messed up. Apparently one of the cats apparently had a party in here last night. Apparently, probably he's doing his own show. He's probably got a podcast. He probably has 2 million followers. Anyway, in my cup this morning, let's get this out of the way. In my cup, I've got Big Train chai now. A little bit of a blend of Pacific chai in there, but I can tell it's already much creamier, much better. I have, or much more to my liking, I should say. I have my backup cup here. I still have a little bit of, for those of you who tuned in yesterday, there was an afternoon show. Yesterday afternoon for about 30 minutes. I have a cup here I still have a little bit of Chick-fil-A in there, sweet tea, but it's the rest of it's all my homemade. The last of my homemade sweet tea, which will be next week, I'll be making homemade sweet tea, hopefully with some peaches in it, and that will be throughout the rest of the summer, at least for the first couple months, because I am going to be taking a couple months off, or a month and a half after this next 4 days. I got 4 days here. I have to be kind of on duty, on call. Who knows where I will be tomorrow? Probably going to be in Chicago, but I could be anywhere. Like, I could be anywhere. It doesn't, you know, who knows? I could be someplace. Probably going to be able to do a show tomorrow morning. However, we don't know for sure what's happening with that. I'm going to try to sneak through today without having to do anything. I do have to go to Chicago, but other than that, well, I don't have to go to Chicago, but I probably should, because chances are they're going to need with the weather the way I moved through later on. That tends to change things for me, just because things don't work right, so they end up having to use me for something. Oh, the kitty cat is curled up on the dog bed. Isn't that sweet? He was up here bugging me a while ago, and he started to bite me. And then I said, "Well, yeah, you're done. You're off my lap." All right. So these the wacky craziness of the left. People are starting to notice this stuff, and noticing it more. And of course, the Dems are doubling down. And I had a clip of Schumer, and I can't find it. I listened to it this morning. It should be in my history, and it's gone. I think the video's been pulled. Devorah Darkins is the guy's name. It's his channel name. I don't know what his real name is. It might be his real name. I don't know. And he had, I thought I listened to a short that he had that he was, he had Chuck Schumer on and talking about how they're doubling down on going after Trump. I don't see it here anywhere. It's nowhere. It's not here. It's not even in his feed anymore. I'm pretty sure it was him. Now, you know, it might have been, Memology 101. I, I, let me take a look back here again and see if there's anything from that. I don't see that anywhere. Oh, there is one right here. Now, this is the Scott Jennings and Anna Navarro. Yeah, that's a little different. There was a, I'm pretty sure, maybe it was Mimology 101. It's very possible that it was. He doesn't do very many shorts. He does mostly little two-minute videos. He was doing shorts before there were shorts. But the nice part about it is they're not shorts, they're videos. So they go a little over a minute typically. Very short things that just kind of plays a clip and then has a response. And he's not, I don't recommend his channel. He's not, what's the word? He's a little bit vulgar. Yeah, let's just put it that way. But he does have some good clips of things, which are pretty handy because he finds this stuff, that the crazy things that the leftists say. Folks, you know, anger and rage, bitterness can creep in to anger. That whole thing, especially rage, just blind rage. There's a reason it's called blind rage. Anger and rage, bitterness, vengefulness, all those things can cloud your vision incredibly. It is amazing. Peer pressure sometimes happens to people. Sometimes you have this. Now, how does this happen? How do people who are theoretically grounded in the same fundamental beliefs come to two different conclusions, or how do they become so polarized against, on opposite polarizations? There's a lot of factors involved. One of the things that you have to kind of that I've observed in life. Now, I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a financial counselor. I'm not a psychologist. I'm just a guy who has observed a lot of life throughout my 60 years, 60-something odd years, even, whatever they are. And all that time you guys spent in college, I was watching people. I was observing what life was about. I didn't take any notes, so I forgot it all. But I was there. So I have, there's a strange phenomena that happens. And people tend to be, if they're in this soup with other people, there is such a thing as peer pressure. And it even happens to people as they get older. Some people never grow out of it. Some people need a little bit of it. Some people are too, a little bit, there's no filter, there's no sensitivity, awareness of what people around them are, the issues that are there in the room. There's no tact, and they think that that's something important, that they can just say whatever they want to say and they don't care what anybody else thinks. Well, that's good for you, but that's kind of, sometimes that can be kind of rude. Can be, it's,
oh, I don't care if I think I'm rude, huh?
Oh, whatever. Yeah. It's how to win friends and influence people, I guess. But then there's the other side of it where you just go along with what everybody else says, or you literally twit. I have seen people that I thought were pretty strong in their convictions. One of those people is, I see this in newscasters and journalists all the time. I have seen a lot of weakness in Tucker Carlson. I have seen a lot of weakness in people who are, now, it's one thing to have a discussion and try to approach things from where they are and try to share your opinion without going along with the other person, at least trying to meet them where they are. It's a whole other thing to sit there and totally agree with somebody that you normally wouldn't have been, you wouldn't be thought of as being somebody who would agree with that kind of statement. It's just kind of a weird thing. I see this all the time when people talk about like gay marriage, things like that. It's Candace Owens now, who supposedly is a Catholic now. That's according to her. She must have made some statements about some lifestyle stuff that a very well-known pastor in a, I think he's a some kind of Orthodox Christian church, has come out and spoken out against her. Now, I haven't heard anything about it. I've just read headlines, which could be anything. It could be clickbait headlines. He apparently has come out and tried to correct her in this process. Now, I've seen this happen a lot. People just won't stand on their morals here. They just won't stand on what they believe. You can always preface everything with that. It's just, well, this is what I believe, and this is how I feel about it. This is what I believe. This is what I think is truth, and this is how I base it, my truth. This is where I formed that opinion, based on these things in Scripture, or these things, whatever it is. You can lay those things out and be quite and still be respectful in the whole process. Just respectfully disagree with someone else, and that works. Now that's. Sometimes things get emotional and they get tied pretty deeply to whatever it is. I find this happens a lot with people who are parents who have children who do certain things, who happen to make a certain life choice. And the parents are faced with the decision of either ostracizing that child and saying, we're banishing you from the family or whatever. That's one extreme. The other extreme is fully accepting and advocating it to the point of advocation, to the point of promoting it and saying it's fine. It's fine with us. This happens a lot with different kinds of issues within families. I've seen it happen. I've seen it go both ways. I've seen parents who basically have completely disowned their children, or been so abrasive towards their children and the life that they've chosen. It can be something like as simple as a tattoo. Child gets a tattoo. You're not going to be under my roof. Now that doesn't happen. Tattoos are now it's the deal where the parents usually get the tattoo. The kids are like, I don't want to be like my parents. So I'm not going to get a tattoo. That's. I don't know what the fascination is with tattoos. I see this all the time now. It is ridiculous. I'm sorry, folks. Some of these are not attractive at all. I don't find much about tattoos that are attractive anyway. I just don't find them to be classy. But when you see a guy who's like old, disheveled, kind of burly guy that's been around for a while, probably been through Vietnam, has a Marine tattoo on his arm or something like that. I get that. It kind of fits. When you see some lady walking, I see this all the time, people walking through the terminals at the airport. Some lady walking through the terminal at the airport, of course, she's obviously wearing short pants or whatever she's got on for the reason of showing off her tattoos all over her legs. And it just seems like you allowed a 3-year-old to somehow scribble all over your leg, and it looks ridiculous. It's just hodgepodge, who knows what. Let's just put this here and put that there. Let's look like somebody dropped paint on the floor and it splattered up on your leg. I'm sorry. That's just my opinion. Sorry, not sorry. I don't get it. I don't get the fascination. The nose piercings. The septum piercing thing. I went to a restaurant the other day, had a server walked up to me. It was a very nice person. They stick that nose in your face and you're like, please don't touch my food. I assume you've been fiddling with that nose ring. It doesn't look comfortable to me. Anyway, that's my little thing there. And if you've got one, it doesn't mean you're not saved. It doesn't mean you can't, whatever. I'm just saying. It's just not, to me, I'm an old fogey. I just don't find that at all attractive or classy or. Anyway, got some text here coming in from from a very important person there. Oh, it's getting traffic reports. Oh, okay. Well, there you go. All right. So anyway, this whole thing about peer pressure and people who go along. Now, a lot of this depends on, you know, what kind of people you're hanging out with as well. So these people will go to a particular church that has a particular bent, that has a particular philosophical bias. And many times these things happen because of, you know, people believing certain things and going a certain direction. Because a lot of times there's no self-introspection. There's no real self-awareness, really, necessarily. You can be a believer. You can believe certain things and have this deep conviction about certain beliefs and not have any, and having, it can be a very shallow belief. It may not go very deep. In other words, you may not have really spent any time in God's presence and allowed him to really go deep in your life. I mean, we're talking really go deep in your life, to point out things, to show you things, to really do a deep work in your character. Now, I'm not saying, all I'm saying is it's not easy. That's a pretty painful process. It's not always fun going through that. So, you know, I don't necessarily run for that. But I've been through a few of those sessions with God. So it's one of those things that the left has a tendency to go along with this groupthink mentality, this hive mind thing. The word of the day that they tend to use, and people are starting to catch on to this. One of the first things they were doing was weird. All of a sudden, during the campaign, they were coming up with these, what word should we use that best describes the other side? And we're going to start using that word in all of our conversations and all of our interviews. We have to inject the word weird, because the other side's just weird. Now Tim, what's his name? The VP candidate, I don't even remember what his name was anymore. It was running with Kamala or whatever her name was. I don't remember what her name was either. They're just a vapor in the wind. We have Tim, what's his name? He was coming out and saying he was the code shifter for white guys. Straight white guys. Excuse me? No, I didn't say. What you're saying is basically you're the role model. You can fit in and you can talk their talk. No, Tim, you can't. Tim Walz, that's the guy's name. I did not feel any connection to that guy whatsoever. I would not look at him as an example of being a. he's not one of my tribe. Let's just put it that way. And he apparently thinks he is. And he had this opinion that maybe they should have put him out there more in that role. They would have gotten more votes for Kamala, apparently. This is the kind of delusional stuff that these people say. They live in a bubble. They live in an echo chamber. And they convince themselves of things because they continue to say it, and they say it to each other, and they say it enough that they start to believe it, and they just continue to retract themselves into this extremely it's like a prison of their own design. They can't see outside of it. They are so out of touch with the American people, and now, of course, they've been harping on. Now you don't notice they're not saying about the price of eggs anymore. Price of eggs went up. Oh, price of eggs, price of eggs, price of eggs. Like as if that's a national, you know, emergency that the price of eggs go up because there's nothing else to eat in this culture of overweight individual. Folks, if you don't think that this country is overeating, take a step out to just any place in public, airports, parks, whatever it is you go to. Bus station, church. Anybody over the age of 30, and even those in their 20s, some of these people can barely walk. I'm seeing people half my age, and let's just say that they're not starving. Now they may be malnourished. I don't think they're eating good food, but they're eating, and they're definitely not skinny. They're definitely not. I don't see skin and bone here walking around. I'm not saying there's, you know, got a little baby fat on you. That's fine. Anyway, so we have this issue here with I want to be careful how I word this, because I want it to be clear, but I don't want to be condescending, and I don't want to be, but there's this, and it happens, I think the polarization is, there's some guilt on both sides for the polarization that happens in terms of, you know, how believers in a church can be very polarized in what they believe and what they politically, among other things, but we're talking politics for the most part. How you can be so, you know, anti-Trump and pro-Trump in the same church sometimes. What I have found is a lot of it has to do with the culture that you put yourself into. You know, either in that group or outside of that group. And what ends up happening, and what I've found, is that there is a typical ideal that people will start to latch onto, a typical philosophy or idealistic view of what is out there, or what they think is right. And they start to develop, and there's no other term for this. It's just a self-righteousness. That they begin to harbor and nourish. So there's this kind of a self-righteous thing happening. And they feel like this is the epitome or the full manifestation of this is when you see people going out on the streets and protesting, passionately protesting anti whatever it is, anti oligarchy. Folks, nobody would even be aware of the oligarchy or even thinking of that. It wouldn't be for this crazy campaign that Bernie Sanders and AOC are doing right now. Sandy Cortez. That was her name when she was growing up. That's what she was called. She was going through high school. Her name was Sandy Cortez. When her handlers found out, when they hired her for the job, she actually auditioned for the job of congressional candidate. And when they found out her name, her full name was Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, they posted her that way. They didn't want to put Sandy Cortez up there. She sounded more ethnic. So there is this sense of righteousness, indignation, this righteous indignation these people have, and it makes them feel, it provides them with the endorphins they need to convince themselves that they are on the right side of things, they're doing the right thing, and their passion is justified because it's truth. They're speaking for the truth. It's power. Speaking truth to power. And then we start digging down, asking them any questions. They have no idea what they're talking about. They don't know what the truth really is. They just the truth is just what you, it's just your construct. It's whatever your truth is. And somewhere in there is the real truth. And it is contradictory to those people who are trying to keep them, their feet grounded in the truth and figure out what's, you know, having common sense and what's going on. Now, you can be deceived either way. But there tends to be this typical well-informed and educated ability to process certain thoughts person out there. I would like to think I'm one of those. I don't base most of my stuff on emotional reaction. I like to think that I at least pause for 30 seconds or a minute and think about something before I, you know, develop an attitude. My wife will send me a lot of, she sends me a lot of material, and she'll send me stuff that, you know, the question she'll ask is this true? Because something we posted, she sent me something the other day, I think it was yesterday or the day before, and it was from Occupy Democrats. Now, I happen to know the organization. I know what they're all about. As soon as I saw that, my bias went up right away. However, there was the statement that was made. Of course, her question was, is this true? And I didn't dig into it very far, but it was one of those things where they are probably worse than Act Blue when it comes to spinning things and twisting things. They're kind of like this whole blue suit thing with Donald Trump. Blue suit gate at the Pope's funeral. He's the only one wearing a blue suit. Well, he's the only one in the picture you cropped. There's about 80 other people wearing blue suits. You just didn't. You cropped them all out of the picture. So it is one of those weird things how the left right now is in this bubble, in this now, and now they're talking 25th Amendment, or what is it, 25th, 24th, whatever you think, 25th, I think. Trying to get the president impeached because he's cognitively declining. He's not fit to be president. Hakeem Jeffries came out and talked about this. And of course, Dan Goldman came out with this thing. And he was confronted by, in fact, I've got it here. I think I've got it here somewhere. What did I do with it? I just had it here. Yeah, here it is. So Jeffries, it's fair to question Trump's mental acuity. That's what Hakeem Jeffries was quoted saying. Now, this is Dan Goldman. They're gonna try to bring the 25th Amendment up against Trump. Now, these are the same people who for 4 years were propping up Joe Biden, who finally, because he was plastered in front of everybody to see, you know, a side by side comparison with Trump, and all of a sudden everybody realizes this guy's got to go. We got to get him out of there. Why? Why? Oh, he was the best version. We were told that, you know, turn your recorder on because he's about to tell you the truth here about how good this version of Biden is. And all of a sudden, we got to get rid of this guy. We got to get the next guy. Okay, we got to do this. And what's the reason he's stepping down? Oh, because he chose to. Because he decided it's time to pass the torch. Oh, okay. They don't want to bring up the fact that he was pushed aside because of his cognitive decline. They're just now starting to talk about it, which I think has something to do with them having to admit it a little bit so that they can say, well, you know, he didn't run again because he was good enough to step aside because of his cognitive decline. That Trump needs to do the same thing. Whatever Trump says, they're going to go the opposite direction. And he's playing them with this, like he's like a fiddle. He picks the 80-20 issues. He picks the 80 side. They always jump on the 20 side, and it ends up making them look stupid and just ridiculous. Bill Barr, of all people, came out the other day and was being interviewed. I don't know where the interview was. Who cares about what he has anything to say about it? But apparently, I guess if I was desperate enough, I'd probably put him on my show. But I'd be asking him some serious questions about some serious issues. Things that he decided to do and things that he said, he wouldn't want to be on my show. He's one of the people that I probably wouldn't be very nice to him. I'd be nice enough to be cordial and be respectful, but I would be asking him some tough questions. But things about the 2020 election and other things like that, there's some things that would come out of my mouth that I he probably would not like. He probably would hang up on me or all of a sudden couldn't, you know, oh, I think we lost our connection. So we have, so Bill Barr, of all people, came out yesterday or the day before, maybe it was over the weekend. Saw a video of him actually standing up for this idea that, yes, judges are people too, and they can be arrested for breaking the law. It's a crazy idea. This is coming from the same people who had no problem with arresting a former president for something that we were raiding his home. No problem with that. They wanted to see him put in jail. But by golly, if you go after a judge in the courtroom of all places, perp walked them. Oh my goodness. That's just like the ultimate, you know, judges are just above everybody else. They're not. They're to be respected and honored in the courtroom. They still pick their nose. They still do stupid things. And they can still break the law. And they're held account. They should be held accountable for that. So here is I think this is just right at the end of Joaquin here. This is courtesy of Devorah Darkins. You know, hopefully Dan Goldman, I think, is coming up to speak here. I think he interjects something. Devorah put something in here, but I'll try to edit that part out or speeding. I'll click to the next part, but. Here he is.
The commander in chief.
Well, I don't know whether it's incompetence, cognitive abilities, ignorance, or just plain flat out lying, but Donald Trump doesn't know that a photo he's showing is photoshopped. He doesn't know that the Supreme Court ruled 9-0 against him. He's got Elon Musk in the Oval Office doing press conferences. He doesn't understand what trade deficits are and is tanking our economy. So you can call it whatever you want, but it's been a pretty disastrous first 100 days.
And this one of those things you just laid out, but I don't think you can call it whatever you want. I think that's an incorrect statement, Congressman. I think words have meaning and they matter. And I think you know that. I think we have to be careful with our words, especially if we're not trying to inflame the public, and most certainly if we're trying to arrive at the truth. And after 4 years of having us gaslighted over the competency, the mental acuity of the previous president, it's absurd to question, even if you disagree, Congressman, and clearly you do with much of the president, the competency of the sitting president today. I think the accuracy and truth of those words do matter.
I don't know if he keeps...
Well, I don't think he's competent, Will. I don't know what to tell you. Whether his cognitive abilities are sufficient to get past the 25th Amendment, you know, we don't know that right now. But I think what is clear is that he has driven our country into a disastrous economy. He has undermining the fundamental rule
that.
Of law and democracy.
We'll
he
talk
is
about
taking
that.
Away benefits in order to cut taxes for the rich. I think even you, Will, would have to agree with me that this first 100 days is not at all what he promised the American people.
It's on. Yes, it actually is. Now, there was some over-exaggeration. He's not going to end the Ukraine war on day one. However, there now is a deal. And remember that little sit down he had where they tried to throw Macron. This just happened during the Pope's funeral when he's over in Europe. This whole thing happened where they had these three chairs set up and they were going to have Macron sit down with Trump and Zelensky. Trump walks into the room. As he's walking into the room, some of the church guards there pulled one of the chairs. Apparently, Trump foresaw what was going on here. What they were going to do was put Macron into this conversation between him and Zelensky and make it look like Macron was the one working out the deal. He's getting them to come to the table. Trump wasn't having that at all. Nobody else is getting credit for this. Trump is the man who's going to negotiate with Zelensky, and nobody else is getting involved, and nobody else is taking the credit for it. Macron is a puppet. He's a clown in this process. has nothing to say into this process. The French have invested nothing into the Ukraine war comparatively to what we've done. French have nothing to do with the ability. They have no ability to change anything with regard to the situation in Ukraine. Trump knows that. This is up to us to change this. He sat down with Zelensky. I've seen a lot of memes where the guy, Zelensky's in a little rocking chair, like a little baby bouncy chair. And he's sitting there and Trump's talking to him. Which is what it looked like. It actually looked like that. And all you see is the two of them sitting in chairs. They look like little folding chairs. But they were, you know, overstuffed little chairs. Sitting there face to face. Sitting there talking to each other. And it looked like a father talking to a little boy. Telling him, this is the way it's going to be. This is what you have. This is where we're at. All of a sudden, last night, it was announced that we have a deal with the rare earth minerals in Ukraine. Now, I don't know what this means. I don't know anything about the deal. I don't know anything about the ramifications of all this. I have no idea. All I know is the left, again, their heads were coming off because he promised an end to the war. Well, yeah, we can only do so many things with that. I mean, negotiation power goes so far. I think when Trump came out and Rubio came out and said, we're washing our hands of it. You're on your own with this one. Let Europe take care of it. We're done. They were like, no, hello, Ukraine will be gone. Yeah, that's the thing. You do this deal or it's going to be gone or you just take cut your losses and be done with it. You're not going to win this war without escalating it into some ridiculous thing. So that happens. Now, of course, we find out that some of the jobs numbers and stuff are kind of fluctuating. But when you look at the actual numbers and what's going on, some of the reasons for some of the job numbers that are out there and some of the economic numbers, it makes perfect sense because of what the cuts that they've made in some government things and some other things that have happened. Under Biden's administration, when they hired 200,000 people for the government, they called, look at all the jobs we've created. Those are negative jobs. Those are jobs we have to pay for. Those aren't jobs that make money. Those aren't production jobs. Those aren't GDP jobs. Those are jobs that cost. We have to pay out of our GDP for that. People don't make any money. They don't produce anything. So what we have is, of course, the lying left continues on in their little bubble to kind of convince themselves. And apparently, because if they believe it, and they've been putting us out there for so long that everybody's going to follow them and everybody's going to believe. Folks, Mark Dice, who has a laptop in his kitchen, gets more views than some of the most popular shows on CNN. Some of the people, like Rachel Maddow, $25 million a year to do her show. She's going back to once a week again. Still gets $25 million. She was getting $30. She took a $5 million cut. These people are out of touch. They're trying to tell us what to think. And of course, they still push their narrative. They still push their thing. And when you get into this thing, you can apply a certain amount of peer pressure, a certain amount of, this is what normal people think kind of thing. And you'll get some people sucked into that. And I think that's where I think believers especially have to be very careful. They don't fall into this trap of hearing this stuff over and over and over and over And of course, their friends start to believe it. And then the next person, one influential person in their little circle, in their sphere, goes down this road, and that person has influence over them. And the next thing you know, they're, well, I've got to go along with this. This must be the way it is. White privilege is a thing, and critical race theory is a thing, and DEI is a thing. Next thing you know, they're all in on all this stuff, and they find out, wait a minute, none of these things are things. We're not getting the full story on all this stuff. It just feels good to do it, because you feel like, well, I'm not a racist if I go along with all this and that, just do this and that. It absolves me of all my racism. And I think Bill Maher actually had a good point on this the other day. They took out the, I think it was the NFL, for the Super Bowl, and the one on the end zone that said, fight, what is it, racism, don't be racist, or whatever it was. And it was like, who's that for? Ask yourself those questions. Like, this is like the whole thing with Black Lives Matter all over the, being painted on a street somewhere. What is that? Who is that for? If you are racist, then you don't care. It probably makes you more racist to see something like that. If you're not racist, it doesn't affect you at all. It's okay. So yeah. Don't be racist. Okay. Oh, okay. Oh, I was going to be. And I guess since I read that, I'm not going to be now. How many people are changed by that? How many people are changed by the protests that are going on all over the place? They're just drumming up their own base. They're drumming up their own people. They're creating in their own minds this hive mentality, this crazy mentality. That only feeds into itself, and they lose touch with reality. They've completely lost ground with the truth. They're not, and they get into this emotional state where you can't even have reasoning with them. There's so many examples of this kind of thing. It just blows one's mind. Dan Goldman, who's one of those people who are out there knowingly, and you can tell by when this guy is interviewing him and telling him, look, you know. You got to be kidding me. You're telling me that Donald Trump is cognitive. He's, you can go after him with the 25th Amendment, whatever. This kind of out of touch behavior, I think Dan Goldman knows when he's spinning lies. They literally come up with this stuff. They craft this stuff up back in a room. There are people out there who will spin. They're the spin masters. They come out with this stuff. They do the focus group stuff. Well, this word, we got to use the word chaos. We have to use the word weird. We have to use the word what's the next word? It's insurrection was the word for a while, and then it was. Oh, there's a new word right now that they're using. Whatever it is. It's not indiscretion. What was it? Whatever it is. It starts with an I. Whatever it is, there's a new word out there using now. It's just so they come up with these words and they have to put them into the conversation at some point. They have to use them. Keep focusing on this word. Have to keep shoving this word out there. This is the word for the day. This is what's going to. And again, they're going after him because I keep saying it. They're trying to get him down in the polls, make him unpopular. Now, that's not going to affect Donald Trump in the way he does does business. The problem is it's the people around him who are running for office, those people who are stuck in political careers who don't want to be associated or want to disconnect with an unpopular, don't want to go down with that unpopular president because next year I'm going to lose. And they don't get it. This is like this whole thing that happened with Canada. The Conservative Party up there was leading by like 20 points. And they lost because they started to make it all about Trump and his tariffs, and they started to make it about attacking Trump. I got news for you. The conservatives up in Canada didn't show up for voting. They didn't show up. This is why the left won. This is why they beat independents. Or I should say the independents went they leaned left. Because they made it about Trump. They didn't make it about the actual policies in Canada and the things that Trudeau had done. And of course, now, by the way, China now is starting to make deals. They're coming up with exemptions for certain products and certain things. This is the way you negotiate these deals. And this is, I could go on about, I might talk about this tomorrow, more about the deficits and the trade and how this is very similar to the way Democrats try to run our lives with regard to taxes, with us as individuals. This is what Trump is doing now to other countries. He's coming up with these tariffs. And then you form certain exemptions for certain things and certain sizes of companies and certain imports. This is where it all gets down to the nitty gritty. And of course, the markets are responding very well to this as well, because things are coming back out again. It's like, okay, this might work. And China has caved, by the way, even though they're not publicly saying anything about caving, but they have given into this. There's just like this whole thing. So all at once, within days, we have Ukraine changing its tune, and we have China changing their tune, even though they're saying that they're not doing anything. They are, because there are plenty of other companies out there, Vietnam being one of them, surprisingly enough, who are in the mix with regard to production. China's GDP is less than 2/3 of the economy, of the U.S. economy. So it's just the differences here. When you think about that, that is fascinating to me. That's just blows my mind, because you think of China being everywhere. Everything's made in China. And yet they apparently are still a economic power. Now, having said all that, it is Thursday, possibly tomorrow. I don't know if there'll be a show tomorrow. I can't tell you that there will be or there won't be. I'm hoping that there will be, but I don't know. It may be a pre-recorded show, because there are some things I would like to talk about. Fridays tend to be the day I like to do a lot of kind of recap with a whole bunch of audio, statements that people have made, things that happened. If that's the case, and if I can pull that off, we will be able to get that in the can. If not, hopefully, I'll see you next Monday. And I definitely will have a show. Maybe not. Yeah, I'll have a show next Monday. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday next week, for sure. And then Thursday, probably not. Got some busy things to do on Thursday. Folks, the rest of the day, the rest of the week, the rest of this month, have a great and blessed time. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing. God bless. Have a great rest of your day. Take care. See you.